Goldie and Tausch begins now, and it begins with one of my favorite people. We're really lucky because while we do have an in-house NBA expert in Tausch, I don't consider myself to be one, so we are fortunate to have a cavalcade. We had Marcus Johnson on earlier in the week. We love our buddy Justin Garcia. This guy, though, I swear, it was Giannis's mom, and then this guy, third, in terms of FaceTime in the Giannis documentary on Amazon Prime, which was great, by the way. If you haven't gotten to see it, it is fantastic. And this guy's fantastic. It is our friend Eric Name, live from Indianapolis, seated in front of a very lovely drape in his hotel room. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. I actually had opened up the drape because the Indiana State Museum's like right behind me, and the lighting was so horrendous that I was like, all right, well, it would have looked cool, but this doesn't work. So you get a drape. It looks great, though.
You look great. Are you excited about Game 6? And Tausch would like you to break the news on whether Giannis and Dame are playing tonight or not.
Yeah, either one or the other, both. Yeah, whatever you can do.
So give us the straight dope.
Sure. Jeremiah Johnson, the Pacers sideline guy, just tweeted out that Damian Lillard is actually now questionable for tonight's game instead of doubtful. Oh. So he has had a status upgrade. I think we tweeted that about 2 minutes ago, something like that. So that is new news. And again, I think with both these guys, the Bucks did not do a shoot around today. They did not practice yesterday. They are doing everything that they can to smoke screen this as far as possible, like to make sure that, you know, as long as they can hold out on any news, they will do so, whether that's positive or negative. So I do think we're probably going to get to a spot where we'll talk to Doc Rivers an hour and a half before the games. It's a 6:30 tip here in Indiana, so that'd be 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central. And honestly, we might get to Doc Rivers and he might say, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. They're both going to go through their pregame workouts and then we'll take it to within a half hour of the game. So that would be 6 o'clock Eastern. That is how far I think the Bucks will go on all of this. And just listening to Doc Rivers after the game the other night, you know, obviously he said very, very, very close. I believe it was three varies, for how close that they are. And I think with both of these guys, it's just serious soft tissue injuries take a long time. They're a pain. You can't just speed it up. It is what it is. The recovery time is what it is. They're both working super hard to try to get back on the floor. But we'll see if time runs out before game six. And if it does, then that means Chris Middleton just has to go win another one by himself again.
So Tausch is on the Chris Middleton bandwagon in a big way, and he's got some, I'm sure, questions for you about what he's done. Before that, though, again, one of my great sources associated with the Bucks said that they closed the bowl for some reason before game five. Do you know why that was, and if that was part of the, as you called it, smoke screen, as we try to figure out just how far along Giannis and Dame are toward possibly playing?
Yeah, most of the times if you're going to have a closed bowl at an arena right before it opens up, right before the floor opens up, it's going to be a whole team kind of shoot-around situation. We've had that a couple times during this series because there's been weird tips where they're not the 7 o'clock tips, they're earlier in the day. So teams will do that rather than holding a shoot-around. They'll just do a closed bowl shoot-around.
Okay.
Right before the floor opens up. So I don't think either of those. I think maybe two or three times this series we've seen closed bowls before the game.
So we should not read that. We should take what Doc Rivers said about very, very, very close and use that. If we want to have hope for tonight for one or both of them, that and the upgrade of status to questionable for Dame with no change as of yet in Giannis's status would be where we'd put our hope.
Yeah, and I mean, you also have to think back to, you never know with Giannis. He is an insane healer. He's an insane rehabber. He works really hard at this stuff. I believe game one of the NBA Finals, if I remember correctly, I was sitting at the pool as my phone started to explode and people told me that he was thinking about potentially playing. And then a few minutes later, there was an upgrade on the injury report to questionable. That was mid-afternoon. So that's a thing that could happen again, where even in that situation, it's just an upgrade, you know, from out to doubtful. Like, these things can happen late in the day. So I do think, you know, you're really just going to have to wait all the way until 30 minutes before the game when the official actives and inactives come out and see if these guys can go.
So, Eric, you talked about Giannis, and we all know the competitor, and he hates not playing. How much of this do you think is the Bucks medical staff, and not that it's the same injury, but what happened with Kevin Durant, how much of this all plays into? Because I would guess if it was just Giannis, he's going to fight through and go play unless there's some major thing, and it's the Bucks training staff that's kind of holding him back.
Oh, man, I think it's a combination of both, because I do think, you know, the first article I wrote after the injury was about Kevin Durant, right? Like, that is where you have to go. And that's a very rare case, right? Like, that is the absolute worst possible case scenario. The percentages on it would be very low. But, you know, you get to a spot where KD's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have played. That was probably a mistake. And for the team, they have to be thinking about the future and how this works. But also, if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you know that there's, I don't know how low the chance would be. 0.0005, whatever. However low it is, I don't know what it is. I'm not a doctor. But even that chance, if you suffer an Achilles injury right now, we saw it happen with Durant, you don't just miss the next year. You miss the first half of the next year after that. Like, for someone that potentially at this moment in his life has the potential to be a top 10 player in the history of basketball. I think when we did our top 75 list, he was about 24 last time at the Athletic. This is someone that still has top 10 potential. Losing a year and a half of that, to me, feels like a non-negotiable. So I do think while you're always going to have the team needing to protect someone, I think this is a situation where Giannis also has to be thinking about protecting himself, because this is just not something you can mess around with. Like, you're going to have serious regret if all of a sudden, you know, these seasons right around your 30th birthday are gone, are lost, and you don't get those back. So I understand the question, Tosh, but I do think it's both sides kind of being aligned here and making sure that, hey, I'm 100%, I'm ready to go, or I feel confident that even if I'm not 100%, the chance of a serious injury doesn't really exist for me to get on the floor.
So you're basically saying Giannis is getting wiser as he's getting older.
I mean, a little bit. I do think so. And I think the other thing, too, is this injury specifically can be a part of that. I think when his knee exploded in the Eastern Conference Finals, whatever damage was done in there was going to be done, and there wasn't a serious risk of Achilles or a calf or whatever else. That was just his knee was messed up, and it hurt like hell, and he was going to try to play through it. And that is – you can will yourself through that. You can will yourself through the pain. I know he always tells me, Eric, my knee looked like an elbow. Like, that's what it looked like by the end of it. I just had things coming off of it, but it didn't matter. I could just play through it. And this, to me, is just the nature of the injury, the type of injury. It's just not something that I think you can feel confident willing yourself through, because you do know there's that opposite, that other chance, that worst case scenario.
So, Eric, what have you learned? You've been covering this team for a long time. You know everything that goes on. What have you learned about this team with Dame going down in the middle of the series, being as shorthanded as you are? I've learned that Chris Middleton is a dog and has been underappreciated with what he's done the last three games when it's been his deal. What have you learned?
It's funny. I think when I first started this job, so this is year six at the Athletic, the first year, it was when people were trying to figure out if Chris Middleton was going to get a max extension. And the internet, Bucks Twitter, kind of labeled me as the great Chris Middleton defender. Like, I was the person that was just like, hey, this dude's really good, and he's going to get a max. It doesn't really matter if you don't want to pay him the max. He's going to get it because that's how good this guy is. And it's funny. I feel like I've retired that. Like, I'm not that guy anymore, because if you come to me, you're going to hear, how freaking good Chris Middleton is. So I've almost like retired the bit because it's old. I've been doing it for 6 years. I don't need to do it anymore. You should know how good he is. But to me, I was just talking to somebody in the front office, like this stamps, like when Chris Middleton's 22 is up in the rafters, when it's up there, this series is just another thing you put onto it, right? It's just one more story. You think back to their first big playoff series against the Toronto Raptors, not the 18-19 one, the one before that. Chris Middleton has the flu so badly that after playing 40 plus minutes in game 7, I think it was 45, maybe it's 48 because it went into overtime. In that game against Toronto, he had to go to the hospital. They took a needle and stuck it down his throat because they had to pull out all of the pus that had built up in this man's throat as he played through the game. That is the first like big playoff series these guys had when Giannis and Chris were just starting to be the superstars that they were. And you just go through all of these things. Like, that's how far back I can go. I can go back a decade and you already have that. I shouldn't need to keep reminding you, but this series will be another one. He's dragging one leg around. He's got a team on his back and he's still doing everything to get this team in a position to win games. And that's not to say, you know, that Patrick Beverley's 12 assists the other night didn't matter, that Bobby Portis's 29 and 10 didn't matter, that Brooke Lopez's defense didn't matter. Like, all of those things mattered. Malik Beasley's 18 points in the second half didn't matter. All of those things mattered. They were all huge. But at the core of it is you have Chris Middleton pulling the team along and saying, hey, we're going to go at my pace. We're going to slow it down a little bit. I don't get up and down the floor quite like Giannis, but we're going to slow this thing down and we're going to win this game. And I mean, the thing that excites me, and I think you're still learning about this team, is that, you know, that faith, that belief, it might feel hopeless for Bucks fans. Like, oh my gosh, another playoffs where Giannis is hurt. This sucks. Dame's hurt. This sucks. Internally, because of that dude, there is still belief that, you know what, if Giannis doesn't come back tonight, if Dame doesn't come back, who cares? We got enough to win. Chris almost did it in game 3. If we play just a little bit better, Chris is going to do it again in game 6. And to me, that's what I've learned, because so much of this season has been about Giannis and Dame. Every time I've come on the show, we've talked about their two-man game and how's it working and what's going on. That's all we've talked about. But they have that dude still, and he's, you know, one of the most, I don't know, underutilized, overrated, like underrated, whatever. Mm-hmm. Third option, for a third option to be your number one in the playoffs, that's just crazy. That dude's ridiculous.
So is there any reason to think he can't do it again? Because that game, what he did in Indianapolis in game 3, I mean, the Packers were on the clock, and there were 25 people around the television that did not have the NFL draft on because of what we were watching him do to will that team to the – and, man, what would have been nice to get that one, because then we're talking having a totally different conversation today.
I mean, I do think they can get it. All series long, people have been annoyed with me saying the same thing over and over and over again. The Bucks can win this series if they play with discipline, and that means – on defense, you're making all the right rotations and stuff like that. But that also means on offense, you're taking the right shots. And I think what we've finally seen, game 5, what you finally saw was real shot discipline. There was no, oh, I'm going into the lane, Euro step, and I throw my hands in the air, and we miss the layup and go give up a layup on the other end. That was gone. That didn't happen anymore. That just like wasn't what they were going to do. And they figured that out. Like, they to me, that's where you can win game 6, is you take the right shots. I think they really found something with the dribble handoffs, the screens that they were setting for Pat Connaughton, for Patrick Beverley. Like, we've seen Patrick Beverley have two really good offensive games in this series, game 1 and game 5. It's no coincidence that those are the games that the Bucks have won. And I think you just have to have those contributions up and down the roster. And I think you also just have that belief that you can do it. You've been there before, even if it isn't everybody, even if it isn't Giannis, even if it isn't Dame. You've been there before, and the Pacers haven't. If there's one thing the Pacers have shown throughout this series, it's that they have not been here before. There is huge runs. Rick Carlisle's calling timeouts after they give up 4 straight points to try to save his team because he knows that they are young and they haven't been here before and can all go sideways in a hurry. I mean, Carlisle was out of timeouts by the 10:30 mark in the fourth quarter. Like, that's how quickly he's taking timeouts, because he knows his team isn't quite ready for this moment yet. And they've obviously stumbled into something where there's injuries for the Bucks, and they can win this series, but he knows, like, he's got to baby them the whole way. He's got to hold their hand the whole way along and say, all right, I got this. Just keep playing confident, but I'll take care of all the tactics and all the smaller things, and we can win this game. And thus far, I think all of those things, you add them all up, you add up Doc Rivers, I think, putting together a really nice game five game plan, switching things up at halftime that really threw the Pacers off. I think you throw all that in, and that's where I think the belief comes from this Bucks team going into game six.
Now, Eric, it just feels like, and I know it's a good rivalry. We saw that with the in-season tournament and the Pacers coming at the Bucks because the Bucks have been where they're trying to get. But they're kind of an annoying. That's an annoying group, isn't it? That Pacers crew.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a young, brash team, and that was what they made their bones on during the season. I think you saw them like, all right, you got. Any old dudes in this league, we are going to run you up and down the floor. We're going to score 125 on you on a Wednesday night in January in Indianapolis. You don't want to be in Indianapolis. It's cold. It's boring. And you know what? You're getting run out of the gym tonight. And we're going to let you know the whole way about it. This is like what they built their team around. They knew that this is who they were going to be, and they just so happened to get the team that they annoyed the most during the regular season. And you can just kind of see all that building up. And I don't know that that was like the wrong thing to lean into if you're Rick Carlisle, right? Like, this is how you let the league know, like, we do have an all-NBA player in Tyrese Halliburton. We do have a good team, and we're going to make it really tough for you to come to Indiana every single night. It's going to be a pain. You're going to be really annoyed at how hard we play, and we're going to let you know about it. And yeah, you probably are going to turn the dial down a little bit in future years, right? Like, once you really establish yourself. But this to me is like the perfect thing to lean into as a young, brash team, because you know what? That means you're getting everybody's best the second time you see them, because they are going to be furious that you did this last time. So yeah, you might get Giannis putting 64 on you. That might happen because he's mad that last time you played him, you guys beat him. Like, that to me, it's, I don't want to say it's genius, but to me, that's the type of thing that you can build a really fun young team like around. You can build your whole identity around that idea.
I feel like that's what you were like as a player. Is that accurate?
I no comment.
Okay. All right. I got a couple more for you, so I'm sorry we're going to keep you in front of your drape for a while here. First of all, I was there the night that Giannis injured his calf, and I didn't get to see you because it turned into a very overwhelmingly busy night for you. But it also started as a busy night because, correct me if I'm wrong, that was the night they also changed up their starting lineup before they played the Celtics, correct? That's mentioned correct. Beasley. What did you make of what he... Because, look, it felt like that they had decided that they couldn't play him. That's how it... For me watching, and again, you know way more than I do, but for him to deliver what he did the other night, what does that mean for this team, and what did that show you?
I mean, I think Doc kind of said it best after the game. He said it really felt like Malik needed to see one go in. And I just think back to the start of that third quarter. Chris Middleton gets to the basket. The Bucks are going on a nice run. They're continuing to build that lead. Chris Middleton shakes free, gets a help defender, kicks to the corner, and Malik Beasley throws it off the front of the rim. And Malik Beasley has been incredible in the corners all year. He hit 50% of his corner threes. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, if he can't hit that one, I mean, what are you going to do? Because if he can't hit that one, he just might not be playable. And to his credit, I mean, maybe you could give Patrick Beverley a little credit because he didn't throw him the best pass, which really, if you don't get the best pass, you really got to think about your form, right, and your fundamentals. Yeah. But he gets his legs set. He jumps up in the air, bangs a three. All of a sudden, next play happens. The Bucks get a stop, come down again. He hits another three. And then at that point, he's rolling. And I think one of the things that I know Doc Rivers ends up being a punchline for a lot of people. You know, he lost all the 3-1 leads and he hasn't won since the Celtics and blah, 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 blah. He says funny quotes, all that stuff. I know that he can be a punchline for people, but I just thought the way that he used Malik the rest of that game was just fantastic. You know, they're running plays for him. They're making sure they keep him involved. He ends up with 18 second half points. And it's no coincidence that you open the fourth quarter, and to Patrick Beverley's credit, he had a wide open lane that he could have driven down to start the very first possession of the first quarter for, or the fourth quarter for the Bucks. And he held the ball, dribbled it three more times, whipped it over to Malik Beasley on the left wing, who curled around a screen, jumped up in the air, and hit another three. And it was just like, okay, like he has his confidence back. Whatever the mojo is that he needed, he has that back. And if we're talking about how the Bucks pull off a game six win, mm-hmm. having guys like that confident and comfortable and ready to play, that is just – it's massive. And in the first couple games of the series, we didn't see quite enough of that. And, I mean, you can say the same thing for Bobby Portis. 29 points, that's a career high for him as well. You know, he was joking after the game that he's going to get to hear some Bobby Sucks chants tonight, and he's excited about that, and he's ready to go, and he's fired up. Like, I do think – it took a little while in this series. It took some injuries in this series, but I do think after five games, you're seeing those guys that need to help Chris do this find that confidence and find that ability as we've gone forward here.
This is why you're the best, because I thought on that first three that he makes, God, that is a tough shot. The ball is nowhere near where he wants it to catch it in rhythm, and then he knocks it down, and as you mentioned, it starts things rolling for him. All right, last thing, you mentioned Bobby Portis. I read your story at The Athletic. You do get Bobby Sucks as a chant pretty high in your story. How confident are you that he's not going to lose his blank when he's – it's easy to ride, as Tausch mentioned earlier in our show. It's fun to ride the emotion of playing at home and the Bobby chants in a positive way. But I don't know how game four goes if he doesn't get ejected, but they need him to be the guy he was in game five, in game six, now on the road. What are your expectations? You talked to him. You wrote about him. What are you expecting from Bobby Portis tonight? Because they need him regardless of who else plays.
To me, I think the interesting thing was I don't know that I expected Bobby Portis to apologize to his teammates at when they walked in for game five shoot-around. And that's not to say he should have or shouldn't have, whatever. I just think the entire time I've known Bobby Portis, he is unapologetically Bobby Portis. Like, this is who I am. He speaks in the third. I mean, the sentence I just said would be a sentence Bobby would say. I'm just Bobby Portis, and this is what I do. Like, that is how he talks about himself. That's who he is. That's the confidence he has. That's the swag that he says he has, that he plays with. Like, I just don't think, you know, throughout his entire career, like, obviously, you know, you think back to the, you know, the NBA Finals and Chris Middleton telling him to calm the blank down. Just screaming at him like, hey, man, I know what you're doing, but, like, you got to chill out. And, you know, Bobby later telling him, like, hey, man, I knew I had Chris Paul going, right? Like, Chris Paul was up in his feelings, so I knew what I was doing. And, again, like, that could have been a situation where you're looking for Bobby to apologize for being him. And he just has never really done that. And I just thought it was so big that he walks in a shoot-around, tells Doc, like, hey, I want to talk to the team. Like, I want to address this. I know I should have been better. And I know I can't get caught up in that. And I don't want to say it's like a lesson or whatever. I just think it's a really good moment for him to have that self-awareness that whether or not he needed to say it, the team needed it. Like, his teammates that don't know him that well needed it. His coaching staff that doesn't know him that well, I mean, some of that coaching staff's only known him for 30 games.
Right.
Like, they all needed him to show, like, I got this. And I do think we're going to see a much better Bobby Portis. I mean, I think his game three in Indianapolis was a little bit underrated. That he had kind of started to get going a little bit there. And again, we keep talking about the series, right? And this, to me, is the fun thing about playoff basketball is you can suck for a game, man. Like, you can be, as long as your team still has games to win and their back isn't against the wall, you can suck for a game. And you can learn from that and know, okay, I have to be better. And I think at the start of the series, we heard a lot about Bobby speeding himself up, trying a little bit too hard, you know, trying to make something happen a little bit too much. And I think he's gotten to a spot now where he's more comfortable. And personally, I'm just, I do think we will see, you know, not in control, because Bobby Portis isn't in control. You have to be a little bit on the edge to be Bobby Portis, but it's not going to be out of control. And again, he's going to hear it tonight. He's going to hear Bobby sucks. Andrew Nebhardt's going to be all over him. The bench from the Pacers is going to be talking. It's going to be a lot. They're going to put him through it. And they know that, because last time he lost his cool. And I just think he's going to be a lot more in control tonight. And I don't find myself all that concerned with thinking this is going to be too big for him, or he's going to get into this personal stuff again. Like, I think you're going to see he's going to be on the edge. He's going to be physical. He's going to be talking trash like he always does. But I just don't think you're going to see it really flare up on him again.
Eric, you're the best. Write well tonight. We'll see what happens, and we'll see if there is a opportunity for Bucks in seven in this series and forcing a game seven back at Fiserv Forum. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That is the fantastic Eric Name. You can read him at The Athletic. He's got his story about Bobby Portis up right now. Tausch, I don't know if I'd go so far as to call him an American classic, because he's not quite old enough to be an American classic. But Locke LaBelle definitely is, after 125 years, an American classic, to be sure.
Indeed it is. I am going to be heading down there soon to get a little bit, and you can get your tee time booked. May 5th. So I think that's a Sunday when you can get started with that. I'm going to head down there. Why I love it? You drive down. You got about 45 minutes either way. They have great event space. They got great food. And it is a fun, beautiful course. They got the little putting course there as well. Again, great food. You can host your big events up there. Go to clubatlocklabelle.com. That's clubatlocklabelle.com.
We blew up the clock for Eric, but it was well worth it. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Kept him a long time, but he was well worth it. All right, Tausch, quick question. After listening to Eric Name, has your hope-o-meter, I know you're not going to change your prize picks, but has your hope-o-meter changed for tonight, or are you still skeptical about the Bucks advancing to a Game 7?
Yeah, so I'm definitely more optimistic listening to Eric and kind of talking about, you know, Indiana's immaturity and all that other stuff, but I still think it's going to be tough sledding. So while my hope-o-meter is higher, I still, if I had to make a prediction, which I don't, I still think the Bucks are going to be in trouble. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm really eager to see if they end up with one, both, or neither playing. My gut tells me, not my source, that despite of the Woj report, I thought Eric made a very good case on why you don't risk it with Giannis. And we'll see if that turns out to be the case or not. We'll continue Wilde and Tausch with Woj Nelly next. Stick around. Continuing on Wilde and Tausch, I just got a text. One of my sources. All I'm going to do, if you're watching on the video, I'm not going to get trapped into being accused of misreporting something by you. So all I'm going to give you is, if you're watching the video, that would be the windy finger wagging. Wonder what this might mean. I don't know.
For our audio listeners, what does that mean?
It means this text is very, very, very interesting and has me very, very, very intrigued about the possibilities of who may be playing tonight. Time now.
You're not going to really do this, are you?
For
Woj Nelly. You're not going to give us the goods?
Time now. For Woj Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
So which one is it?
Jesse, what do you think that means? Dame's playing and Giannis has got a good chance?
If we're putting the clues together to this point, so the line on ESPN Bet has shifted. It was Pacers 8.5. Now it's down to Pacers by 7. We've got Damian Lillard's status changing, according to Eric Name 30 minutes ago, from doubtful to questionable. We've got Jason doing the finger thing, Windy style, with some type of information he's got now.
Okay.
This would lead me to speculate.
Keyword. That good choice of words.
Some people may think that Dame is going to suit up tonight. That would be what I'm... That's what I'm speculating that other people are speculating.
I'm going to speculate that Wilde's speculation from his source is that both guys are playing. That's what I...
Let me ask you this. If you can't have both, and you know the risks that we just talked about with Eric and the KD thing once upon a time, etc., you want it to be Dame or do you want it to be Giannis that plays?
Are you seriously going to ask that question?
I am, because sometimes I ask questions that I know the answer to, but I'm giving you the opportunity to pontificate.
Do
I do.
I mean, I don't know anyone that would say Dame.
I'm going to say Dame.
Right, unless
no,
you're scared,
yeah,
unless
okay.
you're worried about what we just heard from Eric.
Yep.
That's the... I can't believe...
Get him, buddy! Let's get him, buddy! You guys are idiots. Okay.
You guys really think that... he said. Do you hear that?
No offense to y'all, but if you really think you get to pick Giannis or Dame to play tonight, and you're picking Dame,
it's not,
y'all are idiots.
I don't want to give you offense. What gives you the best chance to win tonight, Giannis or Dame? Giannis is the answer.
Obviously.
Who do you want to play
but
tonight?
But that's not how you guys answered the question.
We didn't answer, we asked it.
Jesse just answered it.
And you agreed with him. Jason and I are on the same page.
Well, of course you are.
Because
you guys
idiots.
Got this little weird alliance.
You let Dame play because we're worried about Giannis long term.
Because you don't care if Dame blows his Achilles
off.
That's not it at all.
That's kind of what you're saying. It's a little bit it, yeah.
It's not it for
yeah,
me.
It's what you're saying.
No.
If there literally is nobody on earth, including Dame's family, that would say, I'd rather see Dame play than Giannis if I want my team to win.
There are people on earth. The majority of this show is saying it because if...
Well, in fairness, you two are idiots when it comes to this.
Think of it this way, Tausch.
No offense doesn't make it better.
Think of it this way.
Well, I think it's really idiotic statement. So.
If Dame and Giannis both played tonight...
That's what I want.
But you had to pick one of them to suffer an injury like Kevin Durant that's going to keep him out next season. Which one would you rather have it be?
This isn't a sacrificial lamb. These guys have been cleared and given your team the best chance to win, and you guys are taking Dame over Giannis. Think about how idiotic that sounds.
That's not what we're saying.
He's not coming around.
The question.
Hey, Jason. Does Giannis playing tonight give the Bucks a better chance to win than Damian Lillard?
No doubt it does.
Yeah, I agree. But hey, Jason, for the risk of injury for next season weighing the magnitude of trying to still win this series, would you rather have Damian Lillard suit up and play tonight than Giannis?
Yes, because I'm scared that Giannis is going to rupture his Achilles.
Sacrificial lamb. Wow.
No.
What a sacrificial. That's what you're doing.
No, I don't think so.
No, it is. It's... You just said if somebody has to blow something out, I'd rather it be Dame. That's literally what Jesse just said.
I did say that, yes.
All right, I did not.
And you agreed with him.
No, you agreed with him. But I agree
roll
that
the
I'd
tape.
Rather have...
Yeah, it literally just happened.
You did agree. No. We did the exercise.
It literally just happened.
I did not say that. I quit with 9 minutes left in the show. I quit. I won't be back for the final segment. I'm just leaving. No, I'm not. But look... I am more nervous about this. And I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm more nervous about the dangers with Giannis than Dame. Not because I don't think Dame is important or I want him to be a sacrificial lamb. I don't understand. It seems to me that this is something that is not in the same vein as Giannis's injury. That's all. Right? Tendonitis is not the same as the muscle pull of the soleus. So I'm not thinking that he's going to rupture his Achilles tonight. If either one of them is in danger of seriously rupturing their Achilles and the odds are better than 1% of it happening, then neither should play. They shouldn't risk either one of them. But I am more worried about Giannis, yes. Because as Eric just told us, he not only misses next season, but half of the season after that. That's the danger with KD and the injury he suffered. We'll wrap things up next. This is Will Dean's House Show's Idiots. What I want, you've got. I could spend all day being called an idiot. No offense by Tausch, but we don't have time for that. We do have time for one.
Sacrificial lamb and old Dollar Dame, too, which is not cool.
Jesse, we got time for one text. Make it quick.
There are at least three people in the world who think this. Grant and Madison, I would rather see Damian Lillard play all day, every day, with risk of injury. Grant and Madison on the text line.
It's not the question, but okay.
That is the question.
The question is, who do you want to play tonight?
The question is, who's
going to help this team advance
different
and beat the snot-nosed Pacers? And the answer for anyone that doesn't say Giannis or Giannis,
Giannis beating the snot-nosed Pacers. But all things considered, potential risk of injury, championship aspirations, and such.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
I can't believe how many times you called us idiots.
Three. No, I think it was three.
Felt like more. No offense.
But I said no offense every time afterwards. I don't want to offend you guys.
But you did. Thanks to Craig Karmazin. Thanks to Evan Cohen. Thanks to Eric Name. Thanks to us idiots. And thanks to you for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. We'll do it again tomorrow. Take care. Be good.